This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. This week, Pesta Tut kicks off, and it's a curation of creative events to tackle film censorship. So Tut, or TUT, stands for Tak Diluluskan Untuk Tayangan, and is a classification for films that are banned from public screenings by the Lembaga Penapisan Film. But this festival would like to change that to Tak Usah Tutup-Tutup, or Not Necessary to Censor. So I'm going to find out all about this from Anna Ha, the co-founder and executive director of the Freedom Film Network. Hi, Anna. How are you?
Hi, Juliet. I'm good.
Good to have you back on the show. Nice to see you again. So I guess, you know, being with the Freedom Film Network, film censorship is something that you're very familiar with, not a stranger to at all. And something, of course, that you guys at the Freedom Film Network are working to rally against. Am I correct?
Yeah, and this Pesta Tut, Tak Usah Tutup-Tutup, is our latest effort to kind of engage the public and also filmmakers on this issue of film censorship, you know, whether it's a necessary evil or is it time to, you know, do some reforms to make sure that it actually benefits society. Yeah.
I think because, you know, like I was reading the press release that you guys shared with me and you said, like, you know, this is the era of the internet, right? And streaming and all of that. So all these sorts of, you know, arbitrary, you know, censorship doesn't make any sense in this sort of era that we're living in.
Yeah, that's true. I think the laws need to kind of be updated to be more relevant to society and film industry now. And that's why we thought that one of the ways to engage the public and also is to just kind of showcase a curation of films, 10 films actually we curated, which we thought had social value, very interesting, very good for discussion, that kind of were affected by censorship and then therefore cannot be shown in cinemas or in TV, basically for public viewing. But all the films, we found it online. You know, so there's also this like, okay, cannot see by the public for, you know, on TV and cinema, but it's online. So how do you kind of like jive these two, you know? Because if you say that it is for, it is to protect public, then obviously it's not doing a good job because it's so easily accessible on online, you know?
We all have phones, you know, not all of us have TVs, but we all have phones and access to the internet. It's probably even more accessible now than ever, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think also equally as important, apart from like the censorship having to be, more relevant, is also that the fact that this system does not effectively protect public interest also, you know, and could be restricting our right to and freedom to access critical information and content through films. So that's why we thought that, okay, we should do this Pesta Tut. You know, yeah, yes. And Tak Usah Tutup-Tutup is like, yeah, something that we say all the time, you know, that we thought was quite nice, you know, yeah.
It's a lovely name, especially since I think as you guys also said, like, Tut, you know, like censored, right? That censorship sound. So yeah. No more of that. So tell me about this, you know, is it a collaboration with other organizations? You know, how did it come about?
Yes, the Pesta Tut is co-organized with Engage Media and also another group called Reformatsi. Mm-hmm. And all these are like groups involved in arts and media that would like to advocate for better freedom of expression. Yeah, it's also supported by the Goethe Institute and the European Union, which are our regular partners, who are also very into the protection of freedom of expression. Yeah.
Oh, okay, excellent. And so it's starting today, which is the 26th of November, right? And it's going to go right up to the 5th of December. And I believe it's happening on an online platform.
Yes, it will. Actually, it is a hybrid. Mm-hmm. The showcase, we have a showcase of 10 films, which we want to showcase that was affected by censorship. And that will be online. Okay, that will be online on a platform called Cinemata. But everything, you just go to our website, click on freedomfilm.my and you will be able to access the information and the films.
Okay.
Yeah. But we're also doing one or two on-ground events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. I mean, is it by invitation only or can anybody come? What's it like?
Okay, so one of it is it's called Dancing with Censorship, and this is in collaboration with Reform Art Sea. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's to also kind of like talk to artists and especially to reconsider censorship. You know, mm-hmm. How does the censorship really affect artists and also the public, and also how we can go about better to respond to it. So this is quite an interesting talk because it will feature like visual artists, and also we'll talk about the history of artists responding to censorship, mm-hmm. and also talk about like how we could do more together in the future. So it is quite proactive. So if you're into this issue, I really recommend you attend this. So this will be held in on ground in Jaya One.
Okay.
In PJ. On the 27th from 8 to 10, and the information will be online on our website.
Okay, all right. And I think you're also having something else called Courageous Conversations, am I correct?
Yes, Courageous Conversations is another one of, we call it the Courageous Conversation Lab, because it's kind of like, when we always say that everything's sensitive, and then if you talk about something sensitive, it will go bonkers.
Civilization will collapse. Yeah.
Right. So we are kind of like wanting to see exactly where are our boundaries. So what we're doing is in a very close setting, invite stakeholders, different stakeholders, to watch a film and discuss then how did they feel about the film, how did it impact them, what are some of their considerations if it were to be screened to their children, to whomever, or how would it affect society if it goes out into cinemas. And so like for this time, which is our first Courageous Conversation Lab, we're featuring a new film. It's called Mentega Terbang, which takes on also very interesting topic. And it had, the filmmakers had approached the film to several platforms, to screen it. But the reaction was basically, I don't think our audience is ready for this film.
Okay.
Something like that. But understanding these considerations, we thought that maybe let's test it out in a closed-door setting with invited friends and stakeholders. And maybe during that time, we can just talk about, because there'll be different groups. I'm trying to get a varied kind of point of view. Mm-hmm. Students from 18 to 21. Is this film, what do you think of this film, is it causing you some stress or, some concerns?
Sure.
We also have like psychologists, people who work with children, and also different NGOs from women, gender issues, to even like those with religious backgrounds, Catholic, Christian, Muslims. So we have this whole range of people. Oh, yeah, and also parents. Parents and lecturers. Mm. So these different groups, So then let's have a kind of a courageous conversation and really, really kind of like start to find out actually where does our Malaysian audience sit with so-called sensitive issues now. And it's just our way of starting to kind of collect, do research on exactly where is this line. Because at the moment now, a lot of films are just being cut and censored based on, I think it's going to cause public disorder, mm-hmm. or it's going to cause chaos, it's going to be too sensitive to this group. So we're really taking on the challenge of, to what extent is this affecting our stakeholders, and what mm-hmm. the stakeholders think. Maybe it's not that we should just censor or cut it off, but we should have discussions with it, or, things like that. Or maybe classification of a certain age, maybe before, for an 18-year-old and an 18-year-old now, is very different,
Yeah, of course.
So where is that line? So those are the kind of things that we hope to kind of gather more information and have deeper conversations about. So that's closed door. And we hope to, if this works out well, to have more of this. It's a series of these ongoing engagement with the public.
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea. Yeah, because, yes. And I mean, it would be great if we can get the film censorship folks to join as well at some point, right?
Definitely. Actually, the point is that actually all this engagement that we're doing, we really, really want to feed it back to the policymakers mm. and LPF at some point. Mm-hmm. So we have done like legal research, we have done research with filmmakers, And now we're engaging with the public, different stakeholders, and we're gathering. We also have a survey. And actually, anybody can just go to our website and do this survey to kind of measure what's your opinion, what's the public opinion, what's the opinion of filmmakers when it comes to censorship, you know? To what extent do you want your film to be censored? Who should censor it? Is classification enough? And all these other questions is there. So we're hoping to collect all these and kind of have a better engagement with policymakers on this, with the hope to reform the law to make it more relevant and consistent for all. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sounds excellent. And of course, you know, there's it's going to go on right up till the 5th of December. Am I correct? And there's sort of two playlists that you're going to be releasing in terms of the films online. Am I correct?
Yes.
How is that going to be?
Okay. So this, let's just call it a Toot Film Showcase, yeah? And okay, we have a collection of 10 films. And these are like short films. And then there's also a feature film. There's a feature documentary. So because there's 10 and it's over 10 days, we thought that we will release it in two sections, you know? Mm-hmm. So two playlists. Each playlist will contain 5 films. So on the 26th onwards, we will release one, which contains 5 films.
Okay.
And then the next one will be released on the 1st of December with another 5 films. So, but you will have that whole amount of time to watch the film, lah.
Okay.
From when it was released until the 5th of December. Yeah. Yeah. And besides that, what happens is that after watching the film, of course, you want to kind of like talk about it, right?
Yes.
So what we're doing is we're trying to have this Borak Tut, B-O-R-A-K, like, you know, talk,
yep,
Borak
yep.
Tut, with the filmmakers. So we have 2 and it's going to be over Twitter Spaces. Mm-hmm. Where we invite the filmmakers that were featured, whose films were featured in our showcase, to then come onto Twitter Space with other people to just discuss their how they felt, you know, about their films and how they feel about the film industry in the future and what we can do together and what they feel could help them, you know, mm-hmm. and Malaysia create better films. So that's happening over Twitter Space. There'll be 2 series where we'll have different filmmakers in each session.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sounds excellent. And I mean, after this break, I'm going to be speaking to 2 of the filmmakers of 2 of the censored films, Elsa and also Nora. But, you know, just looking at the playlist, you know, which of the films would you like to recommend? Or, you know, I know it's not fair, right? Getting you to recommend, but perhaps just one that, you know, you'd like to talk about.
Yeah, it's quite difficult. Every time you ask me to choose, Juliet,
I know, very mean problem.
I think a few of the films, there's a part of the curation that really, it's from the Ita Mayang series. And it's mm-hmm. a series of films that was meant to kind of promote and develop new female filmmakers talking yep. about women issues. And some of these were censored. These are the ones that we are showing. They're really, really interesting. And different lah, you know, but mm-hmm. I didn't find anything wrong with it, you know, so that is one. The other one, the other films that if you're interested is like young filmmakers and they're coming from actually film schools like MMU and they're really talented and they're telling fiction stories, but about real life and it's kind of gritty, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a documentary about Rohingya refugees okay. that was banned. Yeah, but please watch it. It's great. And then another one is about, there's 2 more. And one's about, I won't tell you too much, but they're really great. Bako is great. And then the other film is Cold Shoulder. And it's about 2 brothers and their struggles. Really, really, kind of you'll be able to relate with it, you know. Okay. In fact, it's quite touching. So the talent is there, you know. With mm-hmm. Bako, Cold Shoulder, and Mencari Terdo. These are the 3 films that were the graduation films of MMU students.
Okay.
MMU film students, you know. Mm-hmm. But at this stage already, they face this...
censorship.
Yes. So I think this is... It's really... what's the word? It's really not good at this point of time when you're a young filmmaker at the stage where you're going to come and do things and then you get... short lah, you know, you kind of like just someone just gave you a cut and then you had to trip like that, no? So people should just watch it lah. They really testimony of that our filmmakers can talk about things seriously, and these are, you know, issues that are covered in films that are, you know, the themes for Oscar winning films, you know.
Okay.
real issues, you know. So I think those lah. And the other one that I think that I want to highlight also is Absent Without Leave. This is a film by Lau Kek Huat. It was banned in Malaysia, but then he showed it online for over like 1-2 weeks. It is he is actually an award-winning filmmaker, Malaysian, based in Taiwan. And the film is actually a long documentary. He calls it a family story, but it was banned because it it had some so-called supportive of communism elements. But actually, he's talking about his grandfather who was absent, right? And he's searching for that and the connection. So he thought it was a family story. But, you know, the authorities thought it was, you know, supportive of communist story. La. So again, but that film, I feel, is really, really, it's done really well. You know, it's an example of a great social documentary, which has all the ingredients as well and kind of like make you really think about our history again.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. So those are the films. Maybe I should just mention the other two. And this was I was directly involved in.
Okay.
One of it is Gado by Brenda and Namron. It's been out, I think it's a more than 10 years film. And we did it when we were much younger. And the people in the film so were much, much younger. They're all kind of like, a lot of them are already like very established artists now, actors. And, you know, Namron himself has a very well-known director and actor now. And it's kind of like an underground, what you call it, hit lah. You know, everybody, most lot of people have seen it. But it's the first time we're actually saying that, hey, this is the film, you know.
Okay.
And I think people should watch it. If you haven't watched it, I think it is a film. It talks about racism in schools.
Okay.
But so far, whenever we show this film, we've never gotten like, oh my God, you know, please close off this film. It's terrible. Everybody is just so encouraging, you know. And they say, yeah, you know, it's really great. I'm so happy to see these kind of films in Malaysia. So that's one film I really, really, if you haven't seen it, Gado, please go and watch it. Okay. And the other film we did, it's called Syndicate. It's one of our Freedom Film Fest film grand winners. And I just watched it again 2 days ago. And I think you interviewed the filmmaker, right?
Nizam, yes. I spoke to Nizam.
And oh my God, actually, it really is the voice of Sabah Hans, you know? And they should have the space to voice out, you know, what they're unhappy with, you know, regardless whether it is critical or not. But having this space to say that we're not happy with, you know, something about what's happening in the state of Sabah, you know, so this kind of films and space there must be space in Malaysia for groups to voice out their opinions and criticism. Yeah. You know, it's better handled in the open rather than allowed it to be suppressed and then blow up somewhere else, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what we're hoping to advocate also, that I think for more peaceful, better, democratic Malaysia, it's better to really look at the way we handle and control content and allow spaces productively and constructively for people to express themselves, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like a really packed, you know, lineup of films. And again, I guess everyone just needs to head to Freedom Film Network's website and then register. And then you guys will help from there on, right?
Freedomfilm.my.
Freedomfilm.my.
Yeah, the poster is bright pink. You cannot miss it.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much, Anna, for speaking with me today. I was speaking to Anna Ha, who is the co-founder and executive director of the Freedom Film Network. She's also part of the team that put together Pesta Tut, which is Tak Usah Tutup Tutup. But don't go anywhere, because after this quick break, I'm going to come back and speak to two writers and directors, Nora Nabila, who wrote and directed House, and Elza Irdalina, who wrote and directed Molly. And both these films, you know, were banned when they were released back in 2014. So I'm going to find out more of what those films were about and why it was banned. Keep it right here on Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Today on the show, we are talking about Pesta Tut, or Pesta Tak Usah Tutup Tutup. It's also a play on Tak Diluluskan Untuk Tayangan, which is the classification for films that are banned from public screenings. And this is, of course, done by the Lembaga Penapisan Film. So before the break, I spoke to Anna Ha, who is the co-founder and executive director of the Freedom Film Network. And they are the folks who are collaborating with others to put together this film festival, you know, which looks at film censorship and sort of the issues surrounding it. So, but now I'm joined by Elza Irdalina and also Nora Nabila. Both Elza and Nora had both their films censored when it came out. Nora wrote and directed the film House, and Elza wrote and directed the film Molly. And both, of course, tak diluluskan untuk tayangan. So I'm going to find out more about that. Welcome, Elza. Welcome, Nora. How are you today?
I'm good.
Fine.
Lovely to have you both on the show. So I guess, you know, you're both writers and directors, as I mentioned. And I guess the way to describe both your films is tak diluluskan untuk tayangan, isn't it? Both House and Molly didn't quite make it past our censors. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, it was banned. Let's put it plainly.
Yes, it was banned.
It was banned.
Because
okay.
It's a 2-minute movie.
To me, I know, and I watched them both, and I can't believe it. Actually, I can believe it was banned, but also I can't believe it was banned. But anyway, Nora, I know that you were part of Women Girls, right? And those were the folks who were behind Ikal Mayang. Am I correct? Maybe, you know, you can take us back to 2014. Tell us a little bit about what Ikal Mayang was. You know, what was it all about, basically?
Okay, Ikal Mayang is a Women Girls initiative with Karang Pictures. The idea for Ikal Mayang is to get more women voice in the film, because we can see a lot of there's incoming from the industry myself, from behind the scene. So you can see there's a lot of technical crew, editors, a director that is coming from the male gender. Not to be sexist or anything, but we hardly see the voice from the female perspective. So that's why that's where the idea of Ikal Mayang is coming in, to get more filmmakers, female filmmakers, to talk about their film. And the best thing about it is that we encourage the first time filmmaker. So if you think you have a good story, then you send your submission, then we will review. And then if your story is accepted, we're going to give you the whole professional production team for you to work on, and you as a director. So yeah, so that's when House was in for the 2014 Ikal Mayang, with the theme of biar pecah di mulut, jangan pecah di biar pecah di perut, jangan pecah di mulut, unspoken truth. Yeah.
Okay, all right. And of course, this was held in conjunction with International Women's Day, and it meant to, as you said, give, you know, amplify women's voices, talk about, you know, real concerns, that real things that happen to women and their real concerns, right?
Yes, because when we talk about women, what else, what are the issues that surround the women? Is it just being a wife or needing love or something? There is bigger and deeper than that. So that's why we want to see to what extent that female story, female voice can be amplified through Ikal Mayang.
Okay, all right. And if I remember correctly, it wasn't just short films, it was the 2-minuters, which is how, you know, which is what the both of you were involved in. So the 2-minuters, I think, was 10 original stories. And, you know, there was various filmmakers, local personalities such as yourselves who created these 2-minuters. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct, Juliet.
Okay, all right. So, Elza, maybe I can talk to you a little bit about Molly. I know it was a very personal story for you. Maybe you can explain, you know, what you tried to capture in those short 2 minutes.
So I approached the movie, I approached a short film with the theme of unspoken truths. And considering that it was in conjunction with International Women's Day, I wanted to talk about something that was a taboo subject, even though it's a very important issue with women. And drawing from my own personal experience, I wanted to destigmatize the subject of bodily autonomy. Mm-hmm. And how I was hoping to portray it was, it's based on my friends and I, and how they had supported me in spite of their difference in faith and their perspective in life. They put all that aside to just come together and support me, which I think should be the primary thing, instead of like worrying about what other people, you know, would condemn us and all that. So that was what I was hoping to do with this story, to hopefully open that up to other people and talk about this openly, without shame, without regret. Unfortunately, when it was banned, it kind of proved my point, you know. And I find it very like ironic that the theme was unspoken truths, and their LPF was silencing us.
It was given the official toot, isn't it? Tak diluluskan untuk tayangan, unfortunately.
The annoying thing was that, like, it's not even mentioned. It's just insinuated, but to them, it's just too controversial.
Okay. I mean, what sort of, did they give you an official reason as to why it was why it was banned, pretty much?
Well, I wasn't there to receive the official explanation, but what I was told is that the topic of abortion is too controversial. And, you know, I think it's this misconception that it's illegal in Malaysia when it's not.
That's right. Yeah.
So I suppose they feel that it would, I don't know, cause an uproar with the audience or something. It would have broken down society somehow.
Okay, I mustn't laugh. But yes, I mean, you know, the short 2-minute thing would have just, like, yeah, caused the collapse.
Can you imagine the power I yield with a 2-minute film?
Clearly, I mean, they banned your 2-minute film, which showed nothing overtly, right? It was very covert. It was very, like, it was done very subtly, in my perspective. But it was banned. And of course, as you said, you know, the termination of pregnancies is not completely illegal in Malaysia. It is legal under certain circumstances. But I think there's just so much confusion surrounding it, right? Which is why people are so afraid to talk about it. It's such a taboo subject. And I guess, like you said, you were hoping this film would sort of destigmatize this whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah, because something that I did not showcase in the film is why this woman decided to do it. Because that's not important. Yeah. Whatever her decision is, trust us, she's weighed the pros and cons. She's gone through all the mental and emotional trauma to come to this decision. And we should respect that. But yeah, so this whole misconception about the legal status of this terminating a pregnancy and all that, we can't figure out the parameters of this if we don't discuss it. You know, same with sex education, same with corruption in the police force. All these things can't be addressed if we choose to, you know, sweep it under the carpet or pretend it doesn't exist.
I think that is the greatest sin, right? Pretending it doesn't exist, assuming that, you know, it is not happening all around us just because we are not showing it in the public sphere, for example. Of course it's happening, right? And the more you silence it, yeah, the more, you know, people are afraid. They don't know what rights they have, you know, what they can actually do. And, you know, that's why so many bad things happen. You know, we see dumping of babies, for example, because women don't know what they can do when they are, you know, faced with an unexpected or an unwanted pregnancy. Okay, well, we'll come back to your film a little bit later. But Nora, let's talk a little bit about House. Very, very interesting film. I really enjoyed it. You know, speaks so much. Again, you know, things that are swept under the rug, isn't it? But, you know, tell us, you know, in your own words, what was House about?
Okay, House basically is a story about a woman's sexual deprivation, especially when they are in their 40s. So when I did House, I was very young. I was 24, 23. Okay. And I have no idea about that. It just so happened that it's not even a story. I might say close to me in terms of I wonder in my head, because there's a situation where this local personality, he's not in the entertainment industry, but he's quite veteran. His wife of 20 years old have passed away. And 3 months after, he remarried. So for me, growing up, watching this personality and him with his wife, and after 3 months of the passing of his wife, he's getting married. Mm-hmm. Then and the reason is because he needs someone to take care of the need. So, okay, I mean, maybe the need to be loved, the need to, you know, to have a home, a wife, someone to take care of you. But what about women? It's very uncommon for us to see a woman after the passing of their partner of 30 years, for example, remarried that fast. Because we even as a submissive wife, for example, we're kind of independent. We can cook by ourselves. We can take care of ourselves even after the passing of our partner. But about other needs, when you talk about needs, then what about other needs? Maybe, doesn't this woman have the same needs as the guy? Because if yes, women would tend to menopause after a certain age. But before that, and what happened if the women are still in marriage? Do they get their satisfaction, because as a, I mean, raising in Malay, as a Malay Muslim woman, we're not really open, even if we have multiple sexual partners. But most of us, maybe we don't have sex before we get married. But after we get married, then what happened if the sex wasn't as fun as people say it would be? And how do we know? How do we know that? And women, Malay women usually tend to get married in their early 20s, middle 20s. If they have never had that such experience, how do they know? And even after 20 years of marriage, then you've been having the same activity that is not even fun for you, then where do you want to get their satisfaction as a woman? Yeah. So making hows is basically for me to spark to get an answer. Does women really need sex in their life? So, and then I'm grateful to have Arwah Abang Harun Salim Bacik and Kak Fazira Madaud to join me, because before we do the shoot, we have this discussion between the three of us about what the intention of hows, what is the goal? I mean, does it really happen in our society? The perception of female sexuality in terms of husband perspective, like Arwah Abang Harun, and from the female's perspective, like Kak Fazina, both are the people who, at the age of this film were made. And is it true or not that this happened? So yeah. So surprisingly, yeah, I wasn't surprised that it was fan, because I submit three stories and they pick hows, and I really had no idea how I want to do hows. And because even as a filmmaker, at that point of time, this is going to be my first film made professionally. And I don't want people to look at me, oh, that is the porn director, soft porn director. And I'm a female someone. I'm very hijab. So in a way, it made me uncomfortable at first.
Okay.
But when I meet the team and Women, Girls and Garam, and they talk to me about it, I meet Kapas and Abang Harun, and they talk to me about it, it gives me a bit more confidence to do this story. Of course, the symbol, you want to do that some symbolization of sex, but I don't know how to do symbolization of. I was advised to do some symbolization because house was actually 5 minutes with 3 minutes we cut because it's way more controversial with some S.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Because we doesn't want the character of Puan Saleha there to look like cheap, because she can be our mother, our makcik. Our makcik jogging pisang tepi jalan. She could be the Puan Saleha herself. So yeah. So we cut down to 2 minutes. And it was fun because if you delete another, the final 1 minute, I mean it's 2 minutes, the first 1 minute is okay, the final 1 minute is that's where you know
that's where the trouble set in.
Yeah. So if you cut that 1 minute, you don't have anything to show for that 1 minute. So that's why it was fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but I guess you just wanted to show, I mean, again, you know, like for Elsa's story as well, you just wanted to show something that is clearly present in our society, but we're not allowed to talk about it, or it's just, again, hushed up and, you know, like married women aren't supposed to, yeah, have needs, right, of their own. It seems like their only purpose in life is to look after their partner or something like that. But clearly they have needs as well. And that's also what you wanted to show, isn't it?
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right. So when your film was, when Howells was banned, am I correct in saying that the reason given was because of, what was it, sexual, because of the sexual connotations?
Yes.
Okay, all right. But we do, and just, I mean, you know, I don't watch a lot of local TV, but I've heard that, you know, on TV there are even rape scenes and things like that. I mean,
yeah, rape scenes are permissible, you know, and we can have the actress talk about how proud they were, how much they enjoyed doing those rape scenes, and that's fine. Yeah. But, you know, when we talk about consensual sex or women having any sexual desires, that's not right. We are supposed to be this chaste being that pops out babies through some, you know, miraculous hand of God or something. It does not make sense.
Oh, it's quite irony, right? Because in Asian, I can speak in Malay community lah. Because I was raised in this in the Malay community, that we don't talk about healthy sexual, we don't have a healthy discussion on sexual. But we kind of excited, macam Elza cakap lah, we kind of very excited when we talk about, when we do jokes that insinuate sexual intercourse or something. We are so excited to talk about that, like melompat-lompat atas kursi sama when we talk about that. But when we talk about serious issue, this is not right, it's morally wrong. What's morally wrong about wanting to understand your body and wanting to fulfill the needs that you have as a person? Because the whole body and mind is connected. If you doesn't get something that would satisfy your physical needs, it's gonna affect your mental health as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I guess, you know, okay, so when it was first, I'm sure both of you sort of expected it, but were also shocked when your films were censored, officially banned, right? But let's say for you, Elza, you know, it did still reach an audience, right? It was still shown. It's not banned on the internet pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah, I was very grateful that at least online people could still watch it. And we did bring it to some closed viewings. I think a few years after that year that we did Molly, we had towards some schools and colleges around Malaysia with groups of girls, part of the Ikan Mayang and Women Girls Project. And when we showcased it to them, they were fine. They weren't, you know, shocked by it or offended by, for that matter, I think that was one group we had where we had nursing students, and they said, oh yeah, you know, when it comes to having to terminate pregnancies, they have had to deal with rape victims, for example, you know, minors, children. So like, this was something that was definitely very important. And I think seeing us as artists and creatives having the courage to talk about this, it lent them some courage as well. So within that project, we, you know, they would brainstorm and come up with their own short story and, you know, shoot their own short films. So I was very humbled that they took my story as inspiration.
Okay, and that's great to hear, because again, you know, it's happening, and people need to know their rights, especially when it comes to their, as you mentioned, their body autonomy, right? Bodily autonomy. And the reaction was good, lah, pretty much, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and it just goes to show that this, like, censorship that's just, you know, like, beyond, it's who is it serving? Because number one, whoever that's on the censorship board, they're not filmmakers, they're not from our industry. Yeah. So they don't think like we do, number one. Number two, from at least my experience, the audience are a lot more mature, and you know, they can think for themselves. This notion that the audience will follow bulat-bulat, you know, whatever they see on TV, that's ridiculous. And it's also sort of contradictory. If you think we as filmmakers have the power to influence society, then you should trust us to be responsible and have that discourse with our audience openly. You shouldn't be policing their thoughts. You shouldn't be, you know, babying them and thinking that, I mean, abstinence has never worked ever.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think that from time to time, like if you look at censorship boards internationally, they have to keep updating what's considered okay to talk about, what's not. We don't, like, as filmmakers, we don't know what that is. We're not given, like, you know, full transparency. Mm-hmm. It's arbitrary what they decide is permissible and what is not.
Yeah. And I also want to point out that your film wasn't sort of glorifying anything. I mean, your character in the film was, you know, really going through a hard time. It wasn't something that she was joyous about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's not about, like, I'm not saying I'm pro this or I'm against it. That's like not the statement that I was trying to make. I was just trying to say that this happens. This is reality in Malaysia. And a lot of women go through it more than you know. And let's band together and support each other, because this is not an easy thing to go through. That's the most important thing. Everything else is irrelevant.
I agree with Elza. I mean, when I watch Molly, what I see is that to have, like, I mean, because women need support. I mean, girls, especially young girls, if they experience certain increase in their life, the most thing that they need is support. You don't be there and say, oh, this is wrong, this is salah, this is what. You just support them throughout the phase because everyone will learn from their mistake or whatever they decision they made from their past, and they will take that as a learning knowledge in the future. Yeah, when I always watch Elsa. Before Ikan Maya, I watched Elsa as the actress. And after that, after I watched Molly, I have a different impression towards Elsa. Like, wow, she has such a strong voice. I mean, I know her as an actress, but after watching Molly from Ikan Maya, because our fellow both got banned. And then
notorious la, the both of you.
Elsa, like, wow. Yeah, I'm very proud of you, Elsa. I'm very proud of her.
I loved you too, Nora.
Well, I mean, clearly the both of you are, you know, just troublemakers, isn't it? You know, talking about all these things. But thankfully, thankfully, the films aren't banned online and they are going to be part of Pesta Tut, which is happening over the next 2 weeks. So, of course, as we were talking about, the rebranding of Tak Diluluskan Untuk Tayangan is Tak Usah Tutup-Tutup, right? So, you know, for anyone who comes to it for the first time, hopefully during these next couple of weeks, what do you hope that they will take away from it? Elsa, you want to start first?
For both the artists and the other karyawans who are coming, as well as the public audience who will be watching it online or whatever, I just hope that together we can come up, like, you know, we can come together and say that you don't need to police our art or our thoughts in order for us to be a functioning industry. And I think you need to respect the process of making films and of storytelling, because when you silence us, you rob us of that authenticity. And I think our stories have that there's a richness in our culture and in our collective trauma and all that needs to be discussed. And we're in 2021 right now. This type of thinking of, like, being too worried about religious taboos or cultural taboos is a very backward type of thinking. And I hope that we could push for more filmmakers to be part of the censorship board so that we could work towards a more rational way of sort of creating that boundary of our art.
Okay, all right. And Nora, how about you? How do you feel about it?
For me, when my film was banned, I thought that's the end of my career as a filmmaker. That's the end of it. But someone told me that the achievement of a filmmaker, of creative people, is not necessarily when you get an award. It's when your film or your stuff got banned, because that means you're saying something. So I think for all other filmmakers out there, or the newcomer, young filmmaker audience, don't be afraid. If you have something to say, be loud about it. Take space and keep on talking about it. Because the reason they silence us, because they don't want us to keep talking about it. So keep talking about it. Keep talking about the things that matters to you. And we are in a generation where we don't need to have like big camera, go send our stuff to Station TV. We can just do our TikTok, Instagram, all this. Like, we can even create our content. So create the content that matters to you, that can drive discussion, that could make a change. Maybe it's a small change, because you can never expect an overnight change over 1 or 2 minutes from. But constantly doing it, constantly take the space, be loud about it, keep talking about it. Lama-lama, I mean, you're gonna take some attention. Because Ikan Maya, I mean, House and Molly was made what, 7, 8 years ago, and people are still talking about it now. So it's something that is, you can ban us at certain platform, but it's not going to stop other people from keep talking about it.
Okay. All right. So what I'm getting from both of you is, don't be afraid to be silenced. There are other ways as well, you know, of making your voice heard, but don't be afraid to pursue these things. As long as you're not harming anyone, you know, it's not spreading hate. We're just trying to raise awareness, you know, keep doing what you're doing pretty much, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much, both of you. Any last message you'd like to leave us with? Anything else you guys would like to add?
I hope you enjoy Pesta Tut and keep supporting our local artists, especially when, you know, they are faced with restrictions like this. That's when we need your support the most. you keep our art alive. So thank you for that.
Okay,
yeah. All right. And also shout out to like Freedom Film Fest for being doing what they are doing right now, and for still giving a platform for Ikal Mayang series and all other six other films that was banned as well, to give us again another platform for us to talk about it. And I would thank Brenda and Freedom Film Fest team for having the festival here for us.
All right. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for joining me today. I was speaking to Nora Nabila, writer and director of House, and Elza Erdalina, writer and director of Molly. You can catch their short films, which were banned, and a whole host of other films at Pesta Tut. Just head to freedomfilm.my for more information. If you miss any part of today's interview, you can always search for the podcast at bfm.my/learn, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.